Today we're going to preach a message called Salt and Light. And baptism is one of the ways that you can show your light to the rest of the world. And so we're going to do that today after service. So if you guys would, if you're getting baptized, give me just a second after service. I'm going to put on my shorts and I will meet you right out front. Everybody else, before you grab watermelons and jump on a slide and get a hot dog, meet us right outside for baptism first. That takes priority, and then we'll go play and have a great time. All right? If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We've got four verses today we're going to preach from. So we're stepping outside of the book of Psalms today. Today is kind of like our back to school. So we've got all the kids in here today. So kids, you need to listen to this message. You should have some coloring pages to be able to help you take notes today, or at very least color something. So we're stepping outside of Psalms. We're going to go Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is teaching. He's preaching his big sermon. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. Very popular message that Jesus preached. And as he's preaching it, he gets into this one section, and it's really cool. Verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Today we're going to jump right in. Let's go back to 13, verse 13, because there's a couple of things we're going to just pick out of these verses that I feel like are important for every one of us today. Whether you're 80 years old or you're 8 years old, there's some principles in this word today that I feel like are going to be really, really good for each and every one of us to hold on to. So the first one is this. He says, "You are." Very simple, you are. He doesn't say you could be. He doesn't say you should be. He says you are. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a disciple of Jesus, then you are salt and light. He doesn't, again, he doesn't make a suggestion to us. What he's speaking to is he's speaking into our identity. You are salt. You are light. And I think what we do sometimes in the Christian church is we kind of feel like we can be salt, or maybe we should be light. But Jesus says, if you're one of my followers, this is what you are at the core of your being. You are salt. You are light. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light." He speaks to our identity today. And identity is one of those things a lot of people want to figure out. Who am I? What am I here for? Why am I placed in this job or at this school? Like, what's my identity? And I'm telling you today, your identity at its base is salt and light. If you're a follower of Christ, that's who you are. You can take anything else away. I was just texting some pastor friends of mine, and I was talking about something similar to this. And one of the things I was telling them was, if you take away my pulpit, if you take away my church, I can't tie my identity to what I do and where I am. My identity has to be tied to something deeper and more eternal. It has to be tied back to Christ. You are salt. You are light. Well, let's talk about salt for a second. How many of you are the people that love salt? Who loves? Yes, you're my people. I love salt. I love putting salt on stuff. My father-in-law, when my father-in-law was alive, he loved salt. My mother-in-law doesn't know what salt is. Two polar opposite people. And so my father-in-law would always go in and sneak more salt into the eggs, or sneak more salt into stuff. And that's how some of you guys are. Salt's amazing. Salt has some really cool properties to it. One of the things about salt is valuable. Now, nowadays, I mean, you can go, this is Piggly Wiggly salt. You know, we probably paid $1.50 for this. Like, salt's not as valuable today as it was back in Jesus's time. But in Jesus's time, salt was very valuable. As a matter of fact, you've heard the saying, someone is not worth their salt, right? And what that meant was a lot of the Roman soldiers would be paid in salt. So some guys wanted gold, other guys wanted salt, right? Doesn't seem like a fair trade, but that's just how it was. Salt was very valuable. And I want to tell you something today. I believe that God sees you as valuable. You may not see you as valuable. You may have come up with a lack of encouragement in your home. Maybe you didn't have a dad or a mom to speak life into you or to encourage you or point you in the right direction. And you may not see yourself as valuable. You may look at your past and all the things that you've done, and you may feel like you've discredited yourself. But I'm telling you right now, the fact that Jesus said you are salt means that he feels like you are valuable. And if I'm valuable, then I need to take care of what I do with who I am and my identity. If I'm valuable. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." God sees you as valuable. The other thing salt does is salt heals. Salt heals. So I'm a hunter. I like to hunt. And one of the things that hunters do sometimes, especially back in the day before they had common refrigeration or maybe guys that lived out in the wild and they didn't have a way to keep their meat cold once they killed an animal, is they would take salt and they would cover the raw meat in salt. And what that did was, is it held off the decay and the rot that would come to the meat that they had killed. As a hunter, sometimes we used to talk about like tanning skins, and you wanted a bear skin or a deer skin or a rabbit skin or a squirrel skin, you know, whatever it is that you were trying to get. You can't do much with the squirrel skin, but the way that you would keep that and preserve it until you could tan it is you cover it in salt. Salt holds back decay. Salt brings healing. There's lots of times whenever people have a wound that you would, maybe in your mouth, what do they tell you to do? Gargle salt water. I don't know if that's a real thing or not. Some of my nurses and doctors may be looking at me right now saying, "Gabriel, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard." But that's what we did when I was a kid. And I still have like at least 7 of my real teeth. So salt brings healing. And throughout the Bible, there's stories of people bringing healing to others. So there's a story Jesus preaches called the Good Samaritan. And when Jesus preaches this story, it's about a guy that got beat up on the side of the road, and he's bloody, and he's lost everything he's got. And this guy comes along, that's a Samaritan, and he picks this guy up. And the Bible says he begins to bind his wounds. He puts medicine on his wounds, and the guy takes care of him. There's a place in life, guys, where as a follower of Christ, not only are you valuable, but why are you valuable? You're valuable because you bring healing wherever you go. You should be bringing healing wherever you go. And we live in a world today, listen, there's a lot of physical sickness in our world today, and I understand that. And we need to pray for people, and we need people to be healed. Absolutely, we should do that. If you're sick today and you need prayer, we would love to pray with you about that. But listen, I can go to heaven with cancer. I can go to heaven with one leg. I can go to heaven with all kinds of bad stuff in my physical body. But I can't go to heaven with a sick soul. I can't go to heaven if I'm messed up on the inside, if I'm walking in sin and rebellion against God. And a lot of times that sin and rebellion that we walked in, maybe in our past or maybe currently, what it does is it begins to break down who we are on the inside. And there's lots of people out there that before they need a physical healing, they need a soul healing. And for us, that's where God has called us. He's called us to reach the lost. He's called us to bring healing to a hurt and broken world. This third thing that salt does is salt enhances. Salt enhances. Did you know that if you have something that you want to be sweet, you need to put a little bit of salt in it, and it helps that thing become sweeter? So a little bit of salt enhances the other flavors in the dish. I like my oatmeal sweet. I like my oatmeal with honey, right? Like that's what I put in my oatmeal all the time. But before I cook my oatmeal, before I put it on the stove or I put it in the microwave, I put a little bit of salt in my oatmeal, and then I put my honey in later. And what the salt does is it enhances the flavor of that honey. Listen, as people that are following Christ, we should be enhancing everything, every place that we put our feet in. your job, your school, your gym, the gas station, the grocery store? Are we enhancing the places that we go? Or are we making things worse? Look at what Philippians 2:14 says. It says, do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Listen, we can't influence our school towards Christ if we're always late, if we're always back-talking the teacher, if we never turn in our homework. Why? You say that doesn't make any difference to my faith. Listen, it makes a lot of difference to your witness. If you're always showing up to work and you're always late and you never have a good reason why. If you're always showing up to work and you're always negative and everything the boss says, you've got a different idea because your ideas are better. Right? Maybe you need to be the boss. But if you're always negative, if you're always putting everything down, if you're always critical, you're not being salt. You're not enhancing the work environment. Now, all of a sudden, when God wants to use you to be a witness to the people around you, they can't see your witness through all of the negativity that we've got surrounding us. It's important that we enhance every place we put our feet. Are you enhancing your home? Students in the room today, are you enhancing your home? Are you adding value to your home? Your parents may do a lot for you. Are you adding value back into that home? Especially if you're a student and your parents don't serve Jesus. Your first witness are the people under your roof. We'll keep going. That was Matthew 5:13. Let's get to 14 real quick. Verse 14 says this, you are the light of the world. Let's stop right there. Light of the world. Now, in those days when Jesus said that, light of the world was a reference to the top teachers of Judaism. The top rabbis, the top leaders of Judaism. The reference here is for those guys. They were called the light of the world. If you found like a really top level guy that was a, you know, rabbi, whoever, would be called the light of the world. Normal people weren't called light of the world. It was just the top level guys. And when Jesus is speaking here, he's talking to thousands of people around him. And as he's speaking, he says, you are the light of the world. He puts a title on them that was reserved for the best of the best. And here's what I want to tell you today. Jesus isn't looking for someone special. He's looking for someone that's set apart. He's not looking for someone special. He's looking for someone that's willing to be set apart, that's willing to say, I no longer want to live like everybody else. I'm going to set myself apart for the gospel. I'm setting myself apart to follow Christ. That's all he wants. He will make you whatever he needs you to be. The Bible says that when Jesus was calling his first disciples, he said this. He said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. I'll take care of making you special if that's what is required. But I don't need anybody special. I just need people that are set apart. And for us, that's what we want to be. We want to be set apart. If we keep going in Matthew 5:14, it says, first of all, it says, you are the light of the world. It says, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So I want to give you three quick things as we close today on light. I told you three things about salt. I said that salt enhances, salt is valuable, salt heals. But now we're going to talk about light. This is my dad's flashlight. I don't know if it's fully charged or not, but this sucker is pretty bright. Yeah. You see what I just did there? This light is so bright that as I shine it on you, I'm really looking into your soul. I can see your sin and every thought. This is so bright. Today, Perry picked it up and she said, she's pointing it right at my face. She says, how do you turn this on? I said, you don't turn it on when it's pointed right at my face. You will blind me. This is a very bright light. I'll keep it down here, keep it up here. I mean, you can see how it just overwhelmed. Oh, wow, we've got a really ugly ceiling. Let's off. How do you turn it off? Let's not look up. Let's not look up. Don't look at anything freshly painted. We haven't touched that yet. couple of things about light that I think are interesting. Number one, light attracts. Light attracts. Jesus said, you're a city on a hill. In those days, if you were traveling, typically you didn't want to travel outside at night, right? Nighttime is when all the animals come out and try to eat you. Nighttime's when all the robbers come out and try to rob you. And so most people were trying to travel during the day, and they want to be in a city at night. The only time you can see the lights of a city are at night. And so when Jesus said you're a light on a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, what he's saying here is you should be attractive to those that are lost and wandering. They should look to you for some rescue. They're trying to find you. And there's a couple of things to think about. Like if you think about driving at night and you're really out of gas and you've got to stop and get some gas and you're driving down the road and you're looking for gas stations, you're looking for the gas stations that have what? Clean bathrooms. Then what are you looking for? Light, right? You want to find the gas station with the lights on. You do not want to pull up into a gas station where the lights are off. Even worse, where the lights are flickering. If the light's flickering, you're in a horror movie and you need to get out as quick as you can. Some of us, our lights are flickering and we need to get some things right in our life. But we're looking for gas stations with lights on. There's an old Motel 6 ad. I don't know if you even know what a Motel 6 is. I don't even know if Motel 6s are still around. I could probably see what sin you commit if I just ask who knows where a Motel 6 is. No, I'm just kidding. Motel 6s, what did they used to say? Y'all remember? We'll leave the light on, right? Like they're always going to have the light on for you. You can show up at a Motel 6 anytime. When I was a kid, when I was a freshman in high school, again, sorry, home folks, you know this one, new folks, you don't. When I was a freshman in high school, I had a problem. I decided to go to a club, and I had never been in a club before. I'm not talking about like the club. I'm talking about a school club. And so I went to a school club, and it was the Key Club. I don't know if y'all know what Key, listen, I've never been to the club. I don't know if any of you've ever seen me dance, but you would right away know I've never been to the club. And so I went to Key Club. And when I was at Key Club, I went in. And of course, I was a freshman. I couldn't drive. And my parents were out of town. And my dad's assistant was staying at the house with me. And she had dropped me off. And she said, I will be back to get you. And I said, okay, that's fine. The problem was this was before cell phones. I mean, they had them, but we were way too poor to have a cell phone. And so I didn't have a cell phone. And I got out of Key Club at like 7 o'clock. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't have any way to contact this lady. And so I'm sitting outside the school and sitting out there with my buddies. And then everybody's getting picked up. And I was like, okay, this is not good. And so I thought, well, they've got a phone inside. And so I go inside the school and there's still some people there. And I call and it just, you know, goes to the answer machine or whatever, you know, it's busy. And I said, okay, well, I'll call her back in a minute. And I keep going back in. Eventually, they lock the school and turn off the lights. And now I'm just sitting there. All my friends are gone. I'm sitting in front of Auburn High School by myself, a freshman in high school, sitting literally on the curb. The lights are off at the school, and I'm just sitting there. And my brain, having grown up in the church and back in the 90s, it was very popular to talk about the rapture. It was very popular to read the Left Behind books in the 90s. And I knew what had happened. If you don't think that's funny right now, that's because you have no clue the horror that we walked through. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the end times. But bro, the Left Behind series just took it to another level. And I knew what had happened. I had been left behind. And so there was a tennis court across the street. And I ran over to the tennis court because they had a TV. And I thought, surely I'm going to see on there, you know, billions of people disappear. You know, and they're all gone. And I couldn't really see. And now I'm getting scared. And I'm like, I know the rapture's happened. And I know I've been left behind because I'm a sinner. And so, and my parents are gone. And that's why the lady didn't answer the phone, because she had been raptured. And so I start just walking home. And as I'm walking home, I'm thinking about how I'm going to break into my house. I didn't even have a key to my own house. I'm going to break into my house, but then I got to patch up that that window, because then the bad guys are going to get in and get me, because the Antichrist is going to come for me for sure. And so I'm thinking about, like, I'm going to find a credit card or some cash in the house. I know where the guns are. Like, I'm making this whole plan. And the whole time I'm making the plan, I'm getting scareder and scareder, more scared. However, whatever the grammar is, at this point, I'm so worked up, I can't even think. And I just start running down the streets of Auburn. And as I'm running down the street, I'm just noticing that all the lights are off in all the houses. And I'm like, all these people got raptured. And finally, I see one sinner with his lights on. And I was like, that's my people right there. And I go run up to this one house with the lights on. And I'm about to knock on the door. And just as I did, I hear these tires just screech behind me. And I thought, oh, they're going to kill me already. And I turned around, and it was my dad's assistant. She had gone to hang up the phone and left it off the hook. And back in those days, we had phones that were attached to the house. You kids don't know about this. But if you didn't put it on the receiver, then the phone was off the hook. It just rang on the other end, like it was just ringing, and no one would ever answer. And she was crying. She knew she was about to get fired. And I was like, you sure are, as soon as my dad gets home. But what was I doing? I was looking for some place where the light was on. I was lost. I was lonely. I was scared. I was in trouble. And I was trying to find some place where the light was on. There are people that God is putting in your path. There are people at your school. There are people at your job. There are people in your family. And they're lost. And they're lonely. And they're scared. And they're looking for some place with the light on. Are you going to be the place they stop? Are you going to be the one they go to? Or are they just going to see the lights off? Or even worse, flickering, and just keep going. My last 2 points, last thought, Matthew 5:16. Jesus says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Two more things light does. So number one, light attracts. Number two, light moves. You've heard of the speed of light. I mean, look at how quickly the light goes from here to there. I mean, it's so fast. It just, boom, there it is. Light just travels so quickly. The fastest thing in the universe that we know of right now is light being able to move. And one of the things that Jesus says here is, he says, let your good deeds shine for all men. Listen, there's a place where he is calling us to action. Jesus doesn't say, just believe. Jesus never says, hey, look, you know what you need to do? If you guys would just get baptized on a Sunday morning, you're good. That's all you need. He never says, if you'll just pray a prayer at the altar, if you'll just shake the preacher's hand, if you'll just join the church, that's all you need. No, no, no. Jesus says you are light, and light moves, light shines, light does something, and there are good deeds that we need to be doing. There are actions we need to be taking. Have you ever played a sport and got left on the bench? I did. I played basketball for a year in high school, and I was awful. I was awful. And so I sat the bench every single game. I just sat on the bench, and I watched all my buddies go out and play, and they had fun, and they would come back, and I would still just be sitting there. It's a bad feeling to be able to see the action and not participate. But what we do a lot of times in church is we become very comfortable in church, seeing the action, hearing about the missions team going to Guatemala, hearing the people talk about the small group they started, hearing someone talk about how they witnessed to a friend at work or someone got saved or prayed for. We've become comfortable hearing the stories from the book. We hear about David and Elijah and Elisha and Moses and Jesus and Peter and Paul. And we've become comfortable listening to the stories. And we've become comfortable sitting on the bench. And Jesus says, I need you to take some action. Those of you guys that are going to school, I know there's some littles in here. And I know the littles may not totally grasp everything I'm saying. But I know you high school students know exactly what I'm talking about. Your school needs you to start taking some action. And maybe you've spent 10 years doing nothing at your school, but you've got a chance right now. When I was in high school, I spent a bulk of my time in school just trying to be like everybody else and trying to dress the right way and trying to say the right things. And I was battling this place of wanting to be like everybody and at the same time wanting to follow Christ. And the two just don't always work together. And so I was in this battle, and I remember I had to move schools. We moved out of the city limits, and I had to change schools, and I ended up this private school. And whenever I went to this school, I remember just not caring. First of all, I wasn't nearly as wealthy as the other kids at the school, right? And I thought, I will never measure up to them socially or economically. And I thought, you know what? None of that really matters. But what can I do spiritually? And I remember a switch just flipped in my brain one day. And I said, I've got to start following Christ for real. Like, I can't just follow him in name only. I can't just follow him by going to church on Sunday and that being my one thing. I've got to follow him for real. And I've got to make a difference at my school. And I've got to be salt and I've got to be light. And all of a sudden, it changed the way I saw school. It changed the way I saw relationships. It changed the way I lived my life. I didn't care what anybody thought anymore. And somewhere along the line, those things tend to creep back into your life, even for pastors. We're some of the world's worst. We care way too much about what people think. And we maybe won't speak the truth like we know we should. So I'm not just preaching at you today. I'm preaching at all of us today. I'm telling you, we all need to be salt. We all need to be light. We all need to take action. The other thing it does is light leads. Light leads. Have you ever, I've been a children's pastor, I've been a youth pastor. When I was a children's pastor, I had to go to kids camp every year, and it was always so funny. You're always going to get kids that are scared of the dark. Every single year, you got a kid that's scared of the dark. If you're scared of the dark right now, just own it, just hold your hand up. Who's scared of the dark? Yep. Got a couple of adults in there. Yep, all right, yeah. Listen, I still sleep in hotels where Perry has to sleep closest to the door. The bad guy comes in, he's going to get her first. I have time to get away. But have you ever seen a little kid that's scared of the dark? They hear something, and at camp, they all have flashlights. And they'll get out their flashlight, and I would look over, and I could tell which ones are scared of the dark, because here's what they were doing. They're scared. There's a monster in here. And I'm like, you are showing the monster who to get. Like, you're shining the light on the target, buddy. Instead of shining the light at the monster, shine the light at the noise, shine the light at the door, like shine the light somewhere. But they're doing this the whole time. And sometimes as Christians, that's what we do. Jesus says you are the light of the world, and we get our good deeds out and we start doing some stuff for Christ. And here's the person we want to showcase is right here. We want to make sure everybody sees who's doing the good deed. We want to make sure everybody sees who the best preacher is or who the best minister is or who went on the trip or who did the thing. We want everybody to know. I also went to a movie theater one time, and it was so interesting. This doesn't happen at every movie theater, but we went to this movie theater, watched a movie, and maybe it was a good one. I don't know. I don't know what we got around here. But there was a guy that came in at the very beginning, before the movie started. And he began to give a spiel and talk to us about cell phones and all the stuff. And one of the things he did is he had a flashlight. And he pulled out that flashlight. And here's what he said. He said, in case of emergency, there's an exit right there. And there's an exit right there. And he began to show us the way out. He began to shine a light on something else. He never said, if there's an emergency, come find me. Didn't say that. He said, if there's an emergency, you need to head that direction. And I think what Jesus is saying here is this. He says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. When I do something, when I'm in action, my light is leading people somewhere. It's not leading people to me. My goal in life is not to lead people to this church. It would be better for my job, right? But it's not better for the kingdom necessarily. My goal should be in everything that I do to lead people to Christ. Is what I'm doing pointing a light at the person that can save them? We've got a lot of firemen in the room. And I think about firemen a lot. And I think about the idea that a fireman that would have a flashlight, he does two things with the flashlight. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my fireman in the room will tell me I'm wrong, but this is how I pretend that y'all do it in your head, in my head. I pretend like you guys take a flashlight, and the first thing you do is you look for people in the fire or in the rubble. Maybe they're not taking a flashlight into a fire. Maybe it's the rubble afterwards, and they're looking for people. And then once they find people, they use that same light to direct those people to safety. Jesus said this, Luke 19:10. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Your job is to seek and save. Find them, show them the way out. Seek and save the lost. If you're a student in the room today, God has placed you on a mission field called school. And all you have to do is take up the identity of salt and light. Take up the mission of seek and save the lost. If you're a teacher today, God's placed you in a mission field. Perry and I were talking about this the other day. She said that she was at school before classes start or whatever. She's a teacher, and they had all the teachers get up, and each teacher had to share some thought or something from their years of being at the school, something significant. And Perry's old, so she's been there a long time. One of the teachers stood up, and she said one of the most significant things or people that has happened to me and my family at this school is Mrs. Wright. She said, "Before I was a teacher, I was just a mom, and I sent my kid to Mrs. Wright's class." And she said, "But Mrs. Wright not only had an impact on my child, she had an impact on me. And now I'm a teacher. Now this lady is teaching at the same school that Perry's teaching at. It's come full circle." And I've told Perry for years, I said, "Listen, your job is not a job. Your job is a ministry. Your job is a mission field. Like you don't have to go to Guatemala. You don't have to go to Peru or wherever it is that we go. You don't have to go any of those places because you've got a mission field called Brookwood Forest. Like you've got a place. Students, teachers, you have a place. But listen, all the rest of you guys, I can't leave you out. Wherever your job is, that's your mission field. That's your mission field. That's your place. You may say, "Yeah, but I work by myself." You better witness to yourself. You got a mission field. The gas station is your mission field. The grocery store is your mission field. Why don't you stand up with me today? I want to pray for everyone. I mean, if you need prayer today, we want to pray with you. But I specifically today want to pray, since we've got the kids in the room, I specifically want to pray for students and teachers. I don't know how it's going to work. We don't have nearly enough room, but we'll just try to make it work. How about that? So if you're a student or a teacher today, in just a second, I'm going to pray over everybody, but in just a second, I'm going to ask you to come down to the front or in the aisle, and we're going to pray for you. But let me pray for everyone real quick. Why don't you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Nothing special about this or magical or spiritual. Just, I want you to focus on you for a second. You've heard the message of Christ, salt and light. You've assessed your own self. The Holy Spirit has been working on you today, as he does with me. And so the question is, am I being salt? Am I being light? Am I even a follower of Christ? That may be a question to ask first. Are you a disciple? Have you given your everything to him? Have you submitted your life to Jesus Christ? If you haven't today, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. As a matter of fact, if you say, "Gabriel, I need to know the Lord. I need to give my life to him," just slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. I just want to see if anybody in the room needs that prayer today. Now, how many of you say today with me, "I want to be salt and I want to be light. I want to take that challenge"? Just hold your hands up. If that's you this morning, it's probably going to be almost everybody. God, I pray for each and every person in this room. God, as we lift our hands today, we want to take up the call and the challenge today to be salt and light. We want to take up the challenge today to be a witness. We want to take up the challenge today to transform the world around us, to enhance our job, to enhance our classroom, God, to bring healing to the hurt and the broken, God, to be a light that attracts those that are lost. God, I pray that you use us today, use us this week, use us this year for your glory and not ours. In Jesus' name.